actually, just in the past couple of years, we've had multiple manufacturers who will come to the reps and ask, hey, we're thinking about, you know, making this variation of a component, or we're thinking about, you know, this brand new product, right?
Yeah.
And they kind of gauge, you know, within our customer base, do we have some target customers for that? Before the design's even started, you can know, you know, hey, we've got 10 potential customers we previously didn't have a solution for that I think that we can introduce that to. So yeah. That I think is really cool, and it kind of makes you feel valued as a rep.
Are you ready to take your leadership skills in the manufacturing industry to the next level? Look no further. You're listening to the Leadership in Manufacturing podcast, and I'm your host, Sana Vinding. I'm here to guide you through a journey of valuable insights, effective communication strategies, and the latest industry trends. Tune in now as we bring you exclusive insights from respected industry leaders in the supply chain, manufacturing sector, and manufacturers' representative. Enjoy.
Thanks for tuning in today. I'm your host, Sana Vinding, and welcome to Leadership in Manufacturing podcast. This is a place where you can empower leadership excellence in the manufacturing industry. I want to introduce today's guest, Ben Kelly. He's a highly experienced sales professional with a diverse background in distribution, manufacturing, and manufacturing representative sectors, currently serving as an outside sales representative at DM Associates. Ben brings extensive expertise in providing solutions from leading manufacturers to various markets. So, Ben, welcome to the show. I'm looking forward to hearing all your insights.
Hey, thank you for having me. I'm glad. I think I'm a fan turned guest, so I'm always looking for podcasts and articles and websites and anything that can help sales. And there's not too many in our industry, and I think you're leading the charge. So I'm glad to be here.
Thank you so much. Yeah, and I can't wait, because what your background, and I just mentioned it, right? But you have the distribution, you have the manufacturing, and the manufacturing rep, and having these like the three-legged stools, to have that as you know, your skill set and your backpack, is just going to be, it's just outstanding, I think, that you have all that. So let's kick it off. But I want to hear, you know, what's your passion within the industry? Why are you in the industry?
Good question. So it's hard to believe this is my 12th year in the industry. Started out with manufacturers, and I always kind of wanted to be in sales, wanted to be in either hardware or software. Luckily got a job in hardware and learned all the technical things. I'm learning all the business side of things and roles of distribution and supply chain, lead times, all that. And then, you know, you get to see different projects and programs every day, which really, for somebody like me that has to have a lot going on, that's fantastic, because you're never bored. If you do have a day where there's a slow email, you know, what, you know, email day, you're like, what, you know, what can
that
I be doing?
Happens. Come on.
Yeah. So that's the passion is, I mean, I'm just a naturally curious person, I guess.
Yeah.
You get to see different things every day, you know, whether it's industrial or medical or, you know, we don't have a lot of consumer here in the Midwest, but, a lot of, medical and all sorts of things.
Yeah. So with your current role as a manufacturing rep, you know, how has that put you like in advances, right? If you want to say that, you know, what's been good now that looking a little bit back and with your background to saying you've been in a manufacturing company, you've been in distribution, what kind of advantages do you have?
Good question. So I think, and again, a little bit biased, right? But I think I went the right direction in manufacturing, then distribution, and then being a manufacturer's rep.
Yeah.
Being a manufacturer, I think, you know, you learn the specific, what the core market is, what the products are, where you know, you kind of fit in. And then you kind of go into distribution, where you're kind of a, you know, not master of none, but you have, you know, a giant tool bag and you have everything at your disposal. And then being a manufacturer's rep, you have to kind of combine all that. It's definitely, I think, the most complicated part, maybe just because you're dealing with multiple manufacturers, multiple distributors. You've got multiple distributors in some of your customers here, especially if you're, you know, with MREPs, you know, you've got a smaller territory. So you kind of have to learn your customers, you know, who they're buying from, who they have the relationship with, and kind of utilize all that. And I guess me being in the same area for, you know, 10, 12 years, I think I've grasped that pretty well.
That's good. No, that's good. And you must take a lot of notes. Oh, I am, but I am.
I absolutely, to
remember everything, because that's how you build relationships as well. So how do you stay organized? Because again, if you have to make sure you remember that customer is buying from this distributor or what's going on in this project, and now there's a new engineer, right? How do you stay organized?
That's a good point. And I was still taking handwritten notes really until, like a couple years ago, I finally switched to just OneNote. And I mean, I probably went through 4 or 5 different, you know, note takings, apps and just different techniques and things like that. And then I kind of just kept it simple and just start using OneNote, you know, have all my, you know, customer visits by date and, you know, or by, if it's a, you know, if it's a top 10 customer of mine, they've got their own tab. Yeah. And then you go in there by date. So I can go see, you know, yesterday was my 5 year anniversary of being at DM.
Yeah.
So I can go back, you know, 2019, 2020, and just say, well, maybe not that far, but, you know, go back a couple of years and say, oh, you know, I was talking to this person. They said their redesign's actually not going to be till mid 2024.
Yeah.
You know, time to talk to them. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So with all that, there's always going to be some tribal knowledge up here in your head, but it's very important to stay organized and, keep notes and, you know, contacts and don't burn any bridges and all that.
No, it's a small world. So I can only agree I've been digital with my notes for a couple of years now as well. And sometimes I do, not that I cheat, but then I'm like, oh, I just need to write this. And then I don't organize it in the right folder that I have.
And then
a day after, or maybe the next week, I'm like, oh, I know I wrote that, right? And then I'm doing my little search and then it's not showing up. And I'm like, why didn't I spend my 30 seconds extra on just being a little bit more organized? So So do you have that kind of experience?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. It's still a work in progress. Absolutely. You know, and if it's stuff before a couple of years ago, I have a closet full of old notebooks that I have to go sort through as well. So, I mean, because some of the customers I talked to today, you know, I was visiting as a distributor sales rep, or actually I've got a couple customers today that I was working with when I was a manufacturer as an inside salesperson. So I still have, I mean, I've got notes from, you know, 2015, 2016 on all legal pads that I can try to go look up.
Going back in history here.
Yes.
So, so the world has changed a lot, right? Pandemic, we're now after the pandemic, we are hybrid, we are remote, we are in the office. So how have your communication or relationship when you talk to customers or distributors, how have that changed over the last couple of years?
So I guess when I started as I started as an outside salesperson, this could go for a distributor and a rep really.
Yeah.
You had your Monday and Friday. Those were your office days. And those were when we would do training calls and, you know, follow-ups and, you know, get all your notes, you know, in or digitally if you're still taking notes, you know, on pen and paper. Those were your catch-up days. And then, hey, you're expected to travel, you know, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
Yeah.
And, COVID kind of threw a wrench into all of that where, you know, your customers might be in on Monday, Wednesday, Friday, or Thursday, Friday, or something like that. So you have to adapt to when they're willing to see you. And I'm still a big proponent of face-to-face meetings, but if it's a brand new customer, you know, do an introduction on Teams or make a call first and, get some some trust there, and then try to figure out, you know, what days they're in the office and can you stop by?
Yeah.
But yeah, I think the schedule has been flipped on its head. You know, it's get in, you know, go see people when you can. You know, a couple of weeks ago, I just drove like 3.5 hours just to go see one person where, you know, you used to, you know, in 2019, you know, or 2020, oh gosh, now I have to make a day out of it. And then in 2022, you were doing that because you're just happy to go see somebody. And so, you know, you kind of are continuing to do that just because, you know, everybody's hybrid and there's still such a value to those face-to-face meetings that you have to rearrange your schedule to make it fit the customer schedule.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's not it's not like the old fashioned where you're saying what you're doing on each day around the week. Right now you have to juggle everything because everybody has their own routine now or habits of how they work. I want to ask you about the design cycles. Have that changed when you look in the last couple of years, or are we in a certain area of that just going into like new projects again? What are you seeing and hearing?
Yeah, so probably in the last, you know, at least 6 months, we're seeing a lot of new projects come along, and maybe even close to a year, you know, whereas a few years ago, you were seeing all your new design engineers become all sustaining people trying to find, you know, parts to get their current product on, you know, out to market and, you know, keep the company in line. And, you know, even, you know, those designs, they almost were refreshes versus, you know, you know, to, hey, we're, you know, maybe it's a new, you know, marketing wise, it's a new product, but really, you know, it's only got a few new features because the whole COVID supply chain crisis, you know, kind of crushed a lot of the hopeful features and they got delayed till the next round. So, you know, just in the last, you know, 6-8 months, I think it's just hit where everyone finally, everything's on the shelf. All the new design engineers are back to new designs.
Yeah. And they got a new budget, right? Because we're like in a new year. So I think that's what I'm hearing.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, but the design cycle is still long, right? Yeah. I mean, there's some stuff that I've been working on since 2019, 2020 that, you know, we're supposed to hit that 2022. And that's one of the features that got pushed, you know? Yeah. So, you know, hopefully in the meantime, you know, we are, you know, somebody was able to, or, you know, myself, we were able to capitalize on sourcing another part or, you know, helping in another way. Well, because your program's been delayed, you know, hopefully you're getting some other kind of sales in there. But yeah, there's been multiple designs that were supposed to be 2 or 3 years that are now in year 5, you know, just because the whole refresh was paused, you know.
Hopefully the product still hit, you know, the market.
That's, you know, there's been a lot of, I mean, just kind of by happenstance, I've hit like there's a lot of medical customers that I've kind of been calling on for a while. I mean, that's the longest design cycle. That's when you're talking, you know, there's something I was working on in 22 and, you know, we're talking about a 2026 launch.
Yeah.
So, you know, but again, our design cycle, think of recurring revenue. Once that hits, you know, hopefully that product's out in the market for 6 years, 10 years plus. I know we've seen actually the customer I'm talking about right now. I've seen them use the same part for 20 years. So, you know, while the design cycle is long, you know, hopefully the revenue is recurring for a long time as well.
Yeah. It's in for the long game here. I want to talk a little bit about skill set. And we talked a little bit about, you know, communication and relationship, right? That how you're traveling and how you communicate and you'd love to see, you know, of course, face to face or in person. Any advice you can give, you know, of saying, you know, this has been working for you on how to maybe, I don't know, up the game and how to communicate with customers?
Good question. You know what? I will take probably the opposite direction and say, you know, I think a lot of people my age and younger have kind of given up on phone calls. You know, it's a lot of like, email, oh, the customer won't respond, you know, like, oh, they yeah. won't, you know, they won't come, you know, they won't do a lunch with me or something like that. You know, or I shot them a text or a LinkedIn message or something like that, where, yeah. you know, someone who's still kind of newer in this industry can, you know, you just pick up the phone. I mean, yeah. and you know, I know, I mean, voicemail's not as popular once was. So no, I will just, you know, if somebody doesn't pick up, you know, don't leave a voicemail. I, you know, just follow it up with an email, yeah. and see when it, you know, request a specific time, a few minutes, and give, you know, give them some specifics of what you want to talk about, because it's like, hey, you know, I just want to talk.
Yeah.
You know, you got to add something. Yeah. You got to have some value proposition, right?
I need to know the whole history, what you played at golf, you know, what's going on. No.
Exactly. Yeah. And especially, yeah. you know, we talked a little earlier about, you know, some of these, you know, there's companies in multiple sectors like laying people off. So your customers and engineers and everybody, they have more responsibility and less time.
Yeah.
So you kind of have to figure out your value and, you know, however, you know, whether it's a quick Teams call or just an introductory phone call or lunch, whatever you can get, you have to kind of quickly assert your value to them.
Yeah.
You know,
time is so valuable, right? Right. So you have to spend it wise, and then you have to spend it to bring that value to your customer. So they're like, yes, you know, I will pick up that phone when Ben calls me because I know he brings value.
Well, exactly. And yeah. I mean, no matter how, you know, important, you know, you think that the particular project that they're working on it, you know, maybe your part on this project is the, you know, most expensive, or maybe it's the, you know, the big headache part that you're working through a lot of design aspects of. Yeah. They have a lot more going on than just that part, you know, regardless. Yeah. Even yeah. if you're the big fish or the small fish on the design,
you have like the bill of material, aspects. Right? And then it's like,
yes, yes, exactly.
This one, right? Yeah,
exactly. If you're on the top or the middle or the bottom, you know, there's a lot of other, parts in there and things to be worked out, you know.
Yeah. No, that's right. What about, I want to hear about how you learn. So, because again, there's so much going on. I love YouTube. If I'm learning something new, even if it's just, you know, for this editing something in Final Cut Pro where I edit this podcast, yeah. I'm like, how do I do it, right? YouTube, and I find somebody who can explain it to me. But that's more technical on that side. But how do you learn?
No, I mean, I kind of learn the same way by, you know, by doing. I mean, before I ever got into a technical sales field, and, you know, in college, I was taking my iPod apart and trying to upgrade the hard drive, or, you know, taking a computer apart and trying to, you know, or, you know, just little things like that. So yeah. I was always, you know, I couldn't always get it back together, but I was trying to learn by doing.
The hands-on.
I really think, yeah. So, I mean, whether it's, yeah, I mean, YouTube, LinkedIn, anything visual I like. Yeah. And really, I think the best way to learn is, you know, if you're in, you know, my position, if you're somebody designing a product, the best way to learn is get in the beginning of that design. And even if you're not an expert at the beginning of the product, you know, you have enough knowledge base to, you know, talk through it.
Yeah.
But if you've got a 2 or 3 year design cycle, that's when you learn that yeah. product, you know, front mm-hmm. and back, right? You know, if it's a power supply or a connector or something like that, you know every little aspect of that, you know, if it's a price leader or not, you know, if it's the test that, you know, everything, yeah. How the testing is against the competitors, you know, all the documentation provided, you know, all that. Yeah. So really that, I think that's the best way is, you know, if you're in a position like me where, you know, you see that from the beginning is going through that cycle and kind of staying curious and learning not just about your part that you're trying to design in, right, but learning about the complete product and learning how your product integrates into that. That's the cool part, and that kind of goes back to me earlier when I said I'm just curious, you know.
So, yeah, no, and you're lifting your head as well, right? Because that you're looking at the bigger picture here, and that I'm sure that helps as well when you work with engineers, that you're not just sitting and saying, oh, you know, my little rabbit hole here with this component. You actually understand everything. So that's an advantage. Oh, another one I want to ask you, you know, because I want to know about best in class. So when manufacturers introduce new product, they have to, of course, push it out to distribution. They have to push it out as well to manufacturing reps. So what's the best way, or what's best in class you've seen a manufacturer actually educating manufacturing reps?
So good question. So we actually, just in the past couple of years, we've had multiple manufacturers who will come to the reps and ask, hey, we're thinking about, making this variation of a component, or we're thinking about, you know, this brand new product, right?
Yeah.
And they kind of gauge, you know, within our customer base or with our, you know, within our region, do we have some target customers for that? You know, and then before the design's even started, you can know, you know, hey, we've got 10 potential customers, you know, that we previously didn't have a solution for that I think that we can introduce that to. So that I think is really cool. And it kind of makes you feel valued as a rep.
You're like, you know, a soundboard, right? You're actually a part of the design. No, but it's another kind of value, which also I'm sure is building a stronger relationship to that manufacturer.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I mean, and once it comes out, you know, we've done, you know, data sheets and a web profile and stuff is great, but the training, whether it's, you know, a Teams call, or I just did an in-person training last month where, you know, here's a power supply that's best in class, that's going to be the quietest one U module, and go through, we learn the technical aspects. Then we go out to the lab and you get to watch this power supply under a load and see how quiet it is. And then you have a decibel meter there and, you know, you kind of get to see. So
it's the hands-on, right? Because
the hands-on again.
Yeah. And it gives you like another kind of memory that you actually sticks with you. Yeah.
Exactly. And the more, I mean, like I said, that hands-on gets you more comfortable with it. And the more comfortable you are with the product, the more likely you are to bring it up, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice. I mean, I can't talk about maybe all the temperature of the capacitor, you know, right then and there.
Yeah.
But if I know the features and the benefits and the market differentiator of this, and you know, you've actually seen it, you know, in a lab, that makes a difference.
Yeah. No, I think that's great. I think actually the hands-on gives you just another, I don't know, observation, right? And it actually relates to you that you can see it instead of just having like a data sheet and saying, here you go, right?
Exactly.
This is what you can.
And that's, you know, just the past year, that is something that has started to come back, where we get to go to the manufacturer sites and, you know, learn about, you know, do the hands-on training, do, you know, here's what's planned in, you know, 2024, 2025. And then, you know, like you said, doing that soundboard where, you know, what products are missing in our portfolio that you, the reps, are out there, you know, on the streets looking, you know, seeing all this stuff, what are we missing, and you know, what can we fill in?
Yeah. I like it. You're bringing value to the table here. So that's good. No, but it is what it is, right? There's only 24 hours per day. And you need to be sharp on your time. Last question here. So if you should give yourself an advice, like maybe 10 years ago, what would that be? Let's hear what you say. That's a good question. And then no.
That is the good question. I would say, don't be afraid to ask questions, actually. You know, there's a lot of, there's a lot of experience, a lot of people that have been in this, area of manufacturing and sales for a while. There's a lot of resources out there.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't think I was really asking a lot of good questions early on, you know. And then as I've kind of developed and you meet more and more people, that's when I started asking questions. So I'd absolutely tell myself, like, speak up, know, ask the questions, use the resources that are provided to you. Learn from others, right? And then, you know, I would also tell myself, you will get used to the design cycle, right?
Yes.
Because it's never the same, right?
And we just talked about it previous, right? That design cycle, it depends on the vertical and it depends on,
a lot of other stuff. Very true. Yeah, very true.
I like it. You know, ask the questions. It's okay to ask it twice, I think, sometimes as well, or just be honest. I've done it where somebody is explaining and I'm like saying, I'm not getting it. You have to explain it again.
And it's
good because by doing that, you're showing also with the team you're together with that it's okay to ask the questions, right? And you're just adding to your knowledge. At a certain point, you're just like, oh, I should know everything, right? But you don't. Not everything. So I really like it that you're saying with the reflection, right? To ask the questions. Okay, absolutely. So if some of the listener wants to reach out to you, how can they connect with you?
I know everyone says it, right? But LinkedIn, I am always on LinkedIn, right? Business, yeah. Facebook, it seems. LinkedIn, Ben Kelly. I've got in my banner there, I do have my cell phone number. You know, I might not answer if you call me the first time, but text me. Yeah, LinkedIn. Really, that's, you know, Ben@DM Associates. My email, is Ben@DMAssociatesLLC.com. If anyone else has, exactly.
Perfect. Okay, I'll put all your connections, maybe not the phone number, but I'll put it in the show notes. And I will also put it on the episode page that you can find on leadershipinmanufacturing.com. So, Ben, thank you so much. This was exciting. I really like the the note taking as well, just to hear, you know, how your transformation has been. I think that was insightful because it's how to stay structured as well, right? I also really like that you're saying, right, you need to be adaptable to the whole world right now. That it's not that you're traveling on certain days, it depends, right? Everything is, you have to morph in and be sure that you actually can meet with your customers so in person when the moment is there. But it's something there. So thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
If you like Leadership in Manufacturing podcast, don't forget to subscribe, rate, and share the show wherever you get your podcast. You can follow Sanna Vinding and Leadership in Manufacturing on Instagram, LinkedIn, and YouTube. Make sure to check our website. It's called leadershipinmanufacturing.com. Stay curious, keep learning. See you next time.